morning. And welcome once again to Friends Church. I'm Jeff, one of the pastors here, and if you're new here, I've met a number of new faces this morning. Welcome. Welcome along with the rest of our rowdy gang here. I hope you're having a great summer and maybe a little bit of time to get away or to just even just shift gears a bit and enjoy the heat or not, you know, stay indoors. A few months ago, I was in Market Mall and I ran into this woman that I knew. I knew her from Friends Church. She, in fact, had attended Friends Church years back. And it was like this, whoa, going back into this window of time. And I hadn't seen her in a long time. And I was so excited to see her. She had been such a big part of this community at one time. And, you know, she kind of just, like, slipped into the background and then just slipped out. And so excited to see her. We began talking and just getting caught up. And she shared about some setbacks in her life, a tragedy that had gone on. A lot of life had gone on in her life since I'd seen her last. But as she started opening up and as we began just kind of catching up, she began to share that something had shifted for her in her spiritual journey. Things weren't the same. I think I asked her, I said, "Where are you going to church?" And she said, "I'm not really going anymore." And I said, "What?" Like, I almost couldn't believe it because she was such a big part. She didn't really know what to say, but she didn't need to. She just said, "Something's kind of different for me." And then I think the words came out, "I don't really know what I believe anymore." And I began nodding. I said, "I get it." And she felt sheepish at first, but then when I said, I get it. "You're not alone." She was kind of like, "You mean there's what I'm feeling right now might not be like, it might be even normal?" Like, that was kind of her look at me. And I said, "I know exactly how that feels." Everything gets jumbled up. And you start questioning, you start doubting. She's just going, uh-huh. You know, here's the deal. In unprecedented levels, right now, worldwide, people are questioning and wrestling with the spiritual beliefs that perhaps they were raised with, that they were taught at a younger age. And for whatever reason, it's like certain beliefs, certain things you understood about how the world works, how perhaps God or the more than works, just stopped making sense to you. This isn't for everyone. I know many people, it's still working great, but for many, things just stop working the way that they once did. And that begins a new chapter, a new season. For some, it's a terrifying season, where they're just white-knuckling. They're wondering, "What is wrong with me?" They might be looking at family, at close friends, even a partner, a spouse, who's going to church every week and so excited and so enthused and so passionate about their beliefs. And yet something inside of them is going, "This doesn't feel right to me. Something's off. Something's broken. This isn't convincing." For other people, it's not so much terrifying. It's annoying. It's irritating. They begin to watch people with all this enthusiasm, and they, it's hard not to be cynical, pessimistic, want to look at them and have a conversation with them and start poking at them and going, "What, how can you believe?" Or, and for those, it's very demotivating. The idea of the spiritual journey just becomes demotivating. And they just, for many of them, in fact, This is the point in their journey where they just get off the train. In unprecedented levels, people are getting off the train, believing that it was nice. It's like Santa Claus. It was nice for a season. But then they learned, and now they know better, and then they got off. What's sad is that many don't realize that perhaps there's more to it. There's more to the spiritual journey even after this stage that can come around, where there's an opportunity to almost start fresh again, to begin to take all that we've experienced in life, all that we've learned, perhaps in science, perhaps all the ups and downs that your journey has taken you on, and laying aside some of the stuff that perhaps you once did or believed, and you begin to recreate something new, something that truly, deeply resonates with you. After the deconstruction comes a new sense of rebuilding. Many people don't realize that that season actually can exist on the other side of deconstruction and the skepticism. A few weeks ago, I invited Alessandra and Adam. Actually, we wanted to have a conversation about, and we did. We had a conversation about kind of this season. And we wanted to talk about a lot of stuff. And really, after it was all said and done, we were sitting there yakking, Alessandra going, oh, but we didn't get a chance to even go here and there and this and that. There was so much we wanted to talk about, in fact, that we knew we needed to talk about that we didn't get there. And so I invited Alessandra back this morning to maybe, hopefully, finish up. And maybe just continue. Continue the conversation that is massive. It's a massive area, and I know, having had many coffees and beers and lunches with many of our community, you will resonate with much of what she said. In fact, your stories will, many of you, will line up. Some of you would be able to finish your sentences, whatever. But I've asked her to come and just kind of share openly. So if you wouldn't mind just welcoming Alessandra. She was like, this morning, and yeah. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're open to sharing your story. Alessandra, you had shared last time you were here. You're at the brink of kind of throwing in the towel on the spiritual journey.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Right.
Glad you didn't. What do you think kept you from just walking away completely, which is what many people have done?
And it really was as simple as that, where it was like, well, yes or no, what's it going to be? What do I want to do?
And how recently would you have said that moment? Or that era?
2 years.
2 years ago.
Past 2 years. That moment happened for me. I didn't completely walk away from everything, because there were things, you know, I grew up in a Christian home with wonderful parents that I respect and love, and their faith is strong and beautiful, and that mattered to me. That was something that I didn't want to be like, well, that's not worth anything. There was a lot of respect there for that and the heritage that I came from, in spite of the fact that I had my whole life been cynical or questioning things, because that's my natural personality to do. That pull was important to me. I always say, well, goosebumps kept me in. I feel like, well, what do you mean by define that?
I remember you saying, yeah. I get these goosebumps every now and then, and that was kind of a trigger that something else maybe perhaps was going on. But
that was all I really had left at that point in my journey. Was like, well, I still get goosebumps when I'm a music teacher and when my students all sing together. And I know you could explain it in any number of ways, but when they sing something beautiful to me, I get goosebumps. Or when someone tells me a story about something that happened to them, where a person showed them compassion or love, and my body just floods with goosebumps and warmth. To me, that was like, well, that's all I have right now, but that's my something. It wasn't a complete empty. I said, well, I still get goosebumps. So that's kind of what I was holding on to. And And I think the third thing for me would have been that I had a lot, three very spiritual experiences in my life that I can't deny, and that I can't just throw away and say, well, now that I don't believe in this, this, and this, that that didn't happen and that didn't mean something. Hmm. It wasn't like a good memory that I wanted to still have. I literally still felt like something spiritual happened to me in those times. And so walking away would devalue all of that
Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah.
Or one of those? Or?
One specific experience was, I guess now, almost 7 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And at that time, they said, well, you know, you've got 2 months to live. And that was the first time, like, someone really close to me had been. That sort of thing had happened to me. And I was terrified. And I also thought, now I got to start going to church again, because I hadn't for like 10 years. So we found some really evangelical church. And I just sat there going, ah, and I did it, because I was like, this is what I need to do.
Wait. So 6 years, you had not been a part of any church for about 10 years.
No.
Your dad gets sick.
Yeah.
And it's like,
got to go to church.
Yeah. Got to go to church. How many know what that's about? Hey, yeah, sure. It's
I
like, oh,
it.
Tragedy. Yeah. God, if you're there. Yeah.
I didn't have a context for how to deal with that kind of trauma or tragedy. I didn't know what to do. And so I just I started to pray, and I started to communicate. My dad lives in Winnipeg, and I started to pray in a way that I don't even know what I was doing. It was so desperate.
Yeah.
I was just so desperate. And I would go to Winnipeg often to be there. And I had an experience in lying in my bed where I was praying, and this is going to sound really weird, because then as soon as you give a mystical experience to somebody else, they'll be like, okay, or it's not going to mean what it meant to me, but trust me, it was something, okay? I'm praying, and I saw this imprint come through, like the air became thick, and I saw a face come before me. I can't describe the face. They had no gender, and it was just a face. And then I saw quite a gory scene of blood and things like that. But then there was a voice that said, I am in it. And there wasn't, I will heal your dad. It wasn't, everything's going to be fine. But it was, I am in it. And there was this sense of peace that I had, where it's like, so I'm not alone. And there will be peace in these moments of terror, you know? So I went in my dad's late, like early morning hours, and I knocked on his door, and I told him that story, because that the next day was a very big time for this, finding out some results, and it ended up being surgery and all this. And I, you know, the slashing, the blood, I feel like that has something to do with it. But I'll never forget that moment where I felt a presence, so something more. So, you know, fast forward a few years where I'm like, you know, in this place in my journey, I can't just walk away from that, because that to me, because those things don't happen to me often, it was more meaningful. It wasn't like, oh yeah, every other day Jesus is talking to me.
Right.
I'm totally not that person.
No.
So that's why it meant a lot to me, because it was a unique experience.
And I don't know how many could relate to just a sacred moment where you can't even explain it. Something happened, and it's not like, well, I don't know what it's like. I know I've had a couple of those definable moments for me too. And I think in the middle of my struggle and journey, even just thinking back, like I wasn't one that reflected lots when I was in the middle of my wrestling back to those moments. Mm-hmm. But when I think about it, even as we were chatting and you were talking about these moments, and I began to kind of go back in time, there was this sense of, oh yeah, I remember, you know, what do you do with that? And I think my rational mind wants to just throw them away, or just say, oh, that was just too much pizza that night, or whatever. But I get how, in those moments, even looking back, it was life altering.
Yeah. And that's, I think, where, where I started to write out of those experiences, mm-hmm. where my songwriting started to come into play.
I noticed, in fact, I asked Alessandra, because your songwriting was almost like a journal through even these last 2 years. You have been writing. In fact, you'll notice as they sing, there's been a lot of music you guys have cranked out that is, I just find so relevant to many of our journeys now, but that you are writing. One of the themes, it seems, that I've watched come out of some of the songs you've written is kind of this, I don't know, this sense of, is God near? There's times when he feels so far away, or whatever, God, more than whatever, something out there is way out there, or at times you're just craving for him to be close, or I don't know. That's the sense that I think, one of the themes anyways. Yeah. Is that accurate?
Or? Yeah. I'm just going to move over to the drum now.
You're going to sing.
Look at my transition. the song that we're going to sing, two songs that I think kind of came out of that beginning part of putting things back together in my life. So the first song we're going to sing is called "Divine." Some of you will know it from us singing it here, it's really the goosebumps song. This song is about the goosebumps, I would say. And that it can be as simple as that. People say, oh, where were you when you wrote this song? What amazing thing was happening? And I said, nothing. That's the point. Nothing amazing was happening. And yet. We'll do another one here. It's called "Here With Me." And I'm hoping lots of you do know it and recognize it and will sing with us on the song. The song is definitely that moment, relating back to that moment with what I experienced with my dad's cancer and that feeling of, I won't feel like that every day. That would be terrifying. But that feeling I had in that spiritual moment, I captured that moment and I remember that moment. And even on these days when I don't feel that way, that memory is very much real and alive still. So that's what the song's about.
Adam, do you mind just staying up here? Does that work for you? I know you guys are going to sing a couple more songs. Maybe just slide that chair over. I know that you talk about some of these things that kind of kept you in the game. You know, whether it was the spiritual experiences, the goosebumps.
Yep. Ooh. Hello.
But you make the choice, all right, I'm not going to give up on this.
Yep.
But then it's like something happened, because I remember watching you over these last couple of years, and I could tell things were shifting, were changing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the things that happened?
Yep.
That kind of gave you some traction, or I don't even know how you'd describe this.
Yeah, I guess you could say I did definitely, I think I had a rock bottom. I had a moment, and we talked about it the last time I spoke a month or two ago, where I just started.
In New York.
Yeah, in New York, where I just blurted out to my best friend, I was like, well, I don't know what I believe anymore. Well, I think I need to leave church. And it was just like tears. It was 6 a.m, standing in line waiting for tickets for something. And then we had like 2 hours at least to sit there. And so then we just started talking, and that was the first time I said things out loud. It became real to me. And I think having somebody that I trusted and loved and I knew would welcome that conversation with me was important. And I had a follow-up with somebody else that was on worship with me at that time. And he's like,
that was on one of the teams, the bands that you're playing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. And, He started pointing me to podcasts, and at that point I hadn't delved into the world of podcasts, and it was new to me, and I had a bit of a trek to work, so I was like, okay, I'm podcast.
So for those that even haven't podcasted, really, these are just like online, like it's like if you ever ordered a cassette of some kind of workshop or whatever, it's just the digital version of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a conversation someone's having with someone often.
Right.
Sometimes it can be just like a monologue, but more often it's a dialogue.
So it was really that first day, it was a pretty much like a turning point moment for me, where I was driving to work and I just kind of went, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, boom, I'll pick this one. It was a Rob Bell podcast where he was interviewing someone called Richard Rohr. I didn't at that time know who that man was. And so it just was like, number 96, Rob Bell, episode 96. And as I'm driving, I was like, it totally blew my mind, and he was saying things that at that point started registering for me. And so
Rob Bell was a former pastor who now has this regular podcast. He cranks out a lot of material. We love him. RobBell.com, you can find him. But this was a podcast that one of the band members had mentioned.
Yep.
Is that how that worked?
Yeah.
He says, you got to listen to this guy. And so you just kind of...
And he didn't tell me which one it was.
Oh,
that.
He didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
Oh, he
just went... I just happened to it. And then I told him that. And then he was like, that's my... I love that one.
Richard Rohr. Had you heard of Richard Rohr before?
No, I hadn't.
Oh, okay. So Richard Rohr is this Franciscan... I don't know if
friar.
He's a monk.
He's a friar.
Friar.
Oh.
Whatever that is. I mean, he wears this cool little Robin Hood suit kind of thing.
Yeah.
That I see in pictures, but he is like a real spiritual guru, a mystic that comes out of the Catholic tradition, but has some amazing things going on. Again, highly recommend him and his he's read or written many books and also has a podcast as well. But so you listen to Rob Bell interviewing him.
Yeah. And you know, I took one thing away from that I still remember now, and I haven't gone back and listened to that again, and I've been meaning to do that. But he said, he talked about entering into the divine dance, and that, you know, spirituality, there's a flow to spirituality, and you can choose to step out and in to that flow. And for you right now in this moment, you'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But for me in that moment, I was like, oh, I can choose. There was that moment I chose to go back into the flow of spirituality around me and to see what that felt like. So there was no parameters, there was no like rules, boundaries, legalistic things. It was just like choose to enter the flow, and that simple sentence to me meant something. And that was when I started to put things back.
You made a choice.
I made a choice.
I'm going to step back in. Yeah. So that was one event or one podcast that lit a fire in you, or just resonated with kind of where you were at in that moment. Mm-hmm. There were others.
Yes, there were others. The liturgists were big after that. I mean, once you get into this world, it's like they all know each other and they all do each other's podcasts and it's all a thing.
But they're called the liturgists.
Yeah.
And they too have a big popular podcast that is very helpful for people in this stage of the journey. If you're coming out to Friends Church and you're going, you know what, my old church traditional background didn't really work and I'm trying... I think their tagline, I forget what their tagline is for spiritual nomads or people with no home. And we always say we're a church for people who don't really fit church. But their taglines are similar. And they're talking about very relevant stuff to where we're at. So you got turned on to the liturgists.
Yeah, and they do every topic through the lens of science, art, and faith.
So and where they intersect.
And how they intersect. There's one that stuck out at that time as well. One of the hosts was talking about when you speaking truths, and he just made this point about, are you speaking against something or for someone or for something? And so I just realized a lot of my reconstruction phase had been negative and cynical, and I was ready.
The deconstruction.
And I was ready for the switch of, what am I for? I know what I'm against, but what am I for?
How many understand what she means by that? How many have found themselves in that place where it's like, I am not one of them. I am not one of them.
Yeah.
Or I came from this and I'm not, you know, don't call me that and don't call me this. And but really knowing, okay, so what am I?
Yeah.
Who am I now? What am I going to be about is a lot more challenging, or it can be.
Yeah.
So this was part of that podcast that was just challenging you to think deeply about what you're going to be about now.
Yeah. And I appreciated that posture. What really...
Yeah.
Really worked for me.
Yeah. There's kind of a saying goodbye of maybe the real... pessimistic, cynical, you know, that's all BS and I don't trust that anymore and those guys or whatever. It's funny.
I didn't point as many fingers as you.
But metaphorically speaking, there is a little bit, I'm just speaking of my own experience, but I could tell as you started listening to some of this stuff, when we get together, something had shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And where I think maybe before there was anxiety, there was maybe fear that I would see in your eyes going, what now? What do we believe or what can we believe or what? And it was almost like that was starting to shift a little. Mm-hmm. And there was this peace coming over you. And I was like, what is going on here? And we didn't even chat at that time about all that you were listening to. But I was watching a change. Mm-hmm. Anyways, a sidebar. Was there other stuff that you did or
listened to? Yeah, I mean, this is for me.
Hey, everyone's going to have their own little thing.
This won't be for everybody. But there's a comedian, Pete Holmes. And for me, this guy...
Anyone familiar with Pete Holmes, the comedian?
He's not a Christian comedian.
No, he's like, not some.
Don't go well, and like what?
he has an HBO special.
Yeah, but crashing.
And
he deconstructs on that show,
like, sure.
You know, because he came from an evangelical Christian home, and he went through his deconstruction. And I've been listening to him the past few years reconstruct.
Right.
I've been listening to lots of people reconstruct in their own way, which has been. Which what I love about Pete Holmes is, you know, he interviews comedians, artists, lots of musicians.
So you're listening to his podcast.
That's right.
Called Don't Make It Weird.
You Made It Weird.
You Made It Weird, it's called.
And he does these long 2-hour interviews with people. And, you know, the last half hour, he's like, so God, no God, heaven, hell, what do you think? Like, and these aren't Christian people or
yeah, like
people that
these celebrities.
Just,
he asks them, do you believe in God or don't believe in God? Do you believe in heaven, hell, and, like that kind of stuff?
And I just love it. I love listening to all these artists. I resonate with a lot of what they're saying. And so for me, that's a spiritual growth.
So what was it about that helped you?
I guess it was points of view, being like, oh, you're all these things, and you think that, or like all these just different combinations of everything.
Yeah.
There's no formula.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
You know, it's funny as you're sharing this, because there are many of these podcasts too have been very helpful for me. So I was excited to hear that they had been helpful for you. But I remember, you know, for me, just hearing that there are other people that are working through the insanity that I felt it was going on in my head, going, I am losing my mind here. There's other people that are wrestling through these things, and hearing how they're articulating it, somehow just, it was therapeutic just knowing there's other people going through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Was there anything else you wanted to share in there?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
Probably. But
probably. I don't know. But things began to change.
Yeah.
And how, like, looking back now, mm-hmm. can you describe tangibly some of the changes that you've been feeling, and what are they, or how has things changed?
I mean, it's very abstract again when we talk about these sorts of things. So it is, you know, pinpointing it in a way that's tangible for everybody is difficult. But I think what I started to realize, and it happened to me very funny moment. I was dusting my son's bedroom, and I was dusting, and I was like fixated in my mind about something that was making me anxious, or I was, you know, stressing about. And then I had that feeling all of a sudden, like a camera, like my eyes were a camera, and I zoomed out, and I saw the whole window, and I zoomed out, and I saw his whole bedroom, and I zoomed out, and I saw my house. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, I know I need to see more of the big picture, because I'm so like right here. If you stand at a painting like this, you are looking at mush. You know, that you need to look back. And I think that's what I did when I started to reconstruct. And I looked at the beautiful painting and my little part in the beautiful painting. Mm. And it was less about me and what I think of my life. You know, this it was a part of something more beautiful. And I think when I let go of the spiritual chains, my favorite metaphor, let go of the chains. Sorry. It's a thing. When I let go of that, it was like spirituality became more and more and more, because it wasn't the way that we grew up with the rules and the this and the that, and, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think listening to these podcasts and journaling and writing the music and giving myself the permission, I realized the bigger my spirituality, the bigger my soul, the bigger my ability for compassion, the ability for self-reflection became bigger. When I didn't put God or the more than in the small space, the bigger I made it, the bigger everything could be, the bigger life could be.
Yeah, you know, I can witness to that. And for me, I think so much of my early days of spiritual, and for those of you that never grew up in church and spirit, maybe this is like, whoa, this is kind of a weird trip. That's what you guys do, or that's what's going on inside your heads. So some of you didn't get kind of weighted down with a lot of kind of a traditional way of viewing life and the world, you know, in terms of a spiritual lens, but I remember at one time church being so formulaic and so much about all these things that I was supposed to believe. And when I began to question the beliefs, I felt like I couldn't hang on to these certainties of being this way or this way. As soon as those things kind of started crumbling in my mind, I felt like, well, what do you have then? What is this about? Like, really, why do this anymore? Mm-hmm. And when you start talking about kind of zooming out, it's like all of a sudden you begin to see, perhaps, and at least it was for me, bigger than my little circle of spirituality and certain beliefs in this little Protestant evangelical world that I was in. And I began to see kind of the cosmic collection of spiritual beings that don't believe similar to me, that are living next door to me, and the people that I'm working with and rubbing shoulders with in my block, and all these different people who do not come from my background, all being a part of something bigger, being a part of something that's moving our world in a better way. And when they talk about their own spiritual experiences, and actually we're talking about a similar thing, not something completely different. And all of a sudden I felt like, man, my spiritual world became so universal. I began looking at one of my ball hockey buddies who's Sikh as being on the same page. In fact, we're texting back and forth this morning over this Ricky Gervais 2 minutes on what religion is. This morning, and I'm just like going, I feel like I am part of something so much wider and deeper and bigger. And my spiritual comrades, friends, are not just those I grew up in the same church with. They are people who think and look and live much differently than me. But we're tied into something much deeper. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're going to sing a couple songs. I think I should probably only time for one with the communion.
Sure.
But this is a song, I Rejoice. And it's the sense is that in all of it is something we can find. In all of it, we can rejoice in something. And so, you know, it's not an end point. It's not like, I will be better when. And I think we all do that a lot. Mm-hmm. When this happens, and when this happens, right. When this happens, I'll be good. Except you miss all that part in between. And I think the spiritual journey, we don't want to miss the part in between because there's things happening. And I think we talked yesterday about that conscious decision to be open. It takes that effort to be open for the movement to happen. And I Rejoice is about that. It's about being open and in the journey, the up and the down, the how and the why, and being able to be present in all of that. And I think with communion, I think that so much of the sacred thing that happens when we all come together like this isn't necessarily you understanding the words and them resonating with you in the perfect place, the perfect moment, and God speaking to you, but the fact that we all came together for this purpose. And I think that is a sacred thing. You know, that other song that we sang with we're all together by some understated grace. And I just think it's a beautiful thing when we all take communion together in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
We're gonna pause and take communion on that note, actually. You know, when we look at the choice, it's a very intentional choice we make as we walk through this journey, as we counter these doubts and fears and confusion, and then you step through it. Alexander talked about this choice she made to get into the flow, to step back into the flow, even though you might be going, I don't know even what I believe. It's a conscious choice to step into the flow. And I you know what? I believe communion, even back when Jesus was looking at his followers, saying, look, I'm going to go. You now have an opportunity to take everything you've watched me say and do and to live this out in your world. He told them often, remember me. In fact, take this wine, take this bread, break it, share it together. And when you do, remember what I'm about. You know what I think that was? I think it was Jesus in his own way of saying, make a choice, despite the confusion sometimes, the disappointment with life, when things don't make sense, when a belief of yours that you once held gets shattered, or you're living with a level of disillusionment, I think Jesus was saying in that moment, make a choice to step back into the flow. And just enjoy, just savor the moment you're in. Don't get too caught up with where this is all leading, how it all ends, where the destination. Enjoy this moment. So as the band plays and whatnot, we're coming to the end here. I'm going to invite you, regardless of where you've been, maybe right now you're right in the flow and you're going, man, I am riding a wave that is beautiful. I'm so excited about my journey. Yes, celebrate with you. Maybe you're in a valley right now, a dark one, and you're just wrestling. I invite you, regardless of what you're feeling right now, to make a conscious choice to step into the flow. Metaphorically, this next wave beyond the cynicism, beyond the deconstruction, this next stage of reconstruction is like a room you choose to step into. And you cannot believe what exists on the other side if you can fight through some of these emotions and feelings, disappointments. Something lies on the other side if you're willing to step in. So while they play, I'm going to invite you symbolically to come take some juice, grape juice, some, I think we have gluten-free options or some bread, to take it and to eat it. And maybe in your own way, just to have your own moment where you just say, maybe I don't even know where I'm at right now, but I'm going to make a conscious choice today to step back into that spiritual flow, trusting something's going to make sense. Something's going to meet me on the side. Perhaps someone or something is going to connect with me. And we just go from there. Can we do that? Invite you. Come on. I think there's a temptation inside of me to want to be able to put a nice clean bow on this and to make it all resolve purely and neatly. And so for those that are walking through a difficult time, to say, all right, and here's the good news. We're just going to get you right back on and we're going to make it all. But it doesn't work that way. And even where it leads, it's sometimes still murky. And the journey looks so different for everyone. And so I'm fighting the temptation and just saying this journey becomes more and more about stepping into the unknown. You had a beautiful quote that I wanted you to share this morning. I don't know if you got that. Anne Lamott.
The opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness and discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. Faith also means reaching deeply within for the sense one was born with, the sense, for example, to go for a walk.
You know, part of this community, part of our focus and our mission is to help people feel safe in the midst of discomfort and uncertainty, and to just rest knowing you've got this moment right now. And if we can just keep practicing stepping into the flow, yeah, things sort themselves out. You start to get traction. I've watched it in Alessandra's life. I know for me, as I've come through some of my wrestling and doubting, I've come out some of the other side. I've had these moments where the sun begins to shine again. And I begin to grab onto what I believe now for me, maybe different than what I was raised with. But it's something that's giving me teeth and traction. And what that will look like for each of you, and maybe some of you have already grabbed onto it and you already feel like you're making sense of why you're here and what you're about and what you believe and what you want to become. Love it. This place here is going to be a place where we're going to continue to invite you into the flow and sort itself out. If you're maybe in the midst of cynicism, and maybe I've talked to actually a few people since we sent out the blurb this week who said, I am right on that, in that ugly place of feeling like I almost need to just let go. I I feel like I almost am ready to quit because it's not resolving. It's not making sense. I just want to say, and maybe you need to. Maybe you need to for a while. Maybe some of you who may be in that place just need to make a choice to just keep trying to step back into the flow and trust. We'd love to continue the conversations online, over coffee, over beer, over lunch, over breakfast. We want to help people continue to figure out what lies beyond the stage that they may be at. Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you have a phenomenal week. And next week, Vince is up next week. I'm kind of getting a little disoriented. It's been an amazing summer of relaxation. I'm kind of getting my brain back into gear.
Sabbath,
there we go. All right. So thank you. Thank you, Alessandra. Is that the Lord? Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you back here next week.